Genesis chapter 25, then, is where I'd like us to turn, please, this evening. And this morning we were thinking, weren't we, about the fact that we should never seek our joy in the things of this world. Tonight we're going to think about we should never make the things of this world our treasure. Two sermons are linked, really. This morning we should never make the things of this world our joy. Tonight we should never make the things of this world our treasure. In the verses that I read earlier, we're introduced to two brothers, one called Esau and the other called Jacob. And they were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah and the grandsons of Abraham and Sarah. And we are told about their conception. Then we're told about their birth. And then they grow up. We don't read an awful lot about their childhood then, but they grow up. And we read in verse 27 that they were two very different men. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Two very different men in their interests. Esau was a man who loved the outdoors, hunting and that kind of thing. Jacob was a man who his pursuits were closer to home. He was more of a home bird and somebody who entertained himself indoors, we might say. So one was a man of the outdoors, the other more domestic. One was a man, it seems, more brash and confident. Another, quieter and a bit more of a schemer and a planner. Esau, brash. What you saw with Esau was what you got. Jacob, quieter, but a little bit more of a schemer, as I say. But also, they were men who valued different things. And that's what's going to come out for us tonight. Now, Esau, we're told in verse 29, had been out one day in the field, hunting, and he was very tired. He was weary. And he comes in from the field, and would you believe, as if by coincidence, I'll say more about that in a moment, as he comes back, Jacob is cooking a wonderful stew. You see, it's not only in recent years that men have learned to cook. Even in Genesis, you have some men who are capable in the kitchen. And here's Jacob then cooking a stew, just as Esau comes in. There's this wonderful stew on the pot, as it were, in the pot, being boiled. And Esau is exhausted and hungry. And he pleads with Jacob to give him some of this stew. And we know what it's like. If we're tired and hungry, you feel dreadful, don't you? And there are sometimes, it gets to about, I don't know, 4:30 or whatever of an afternoon, and I'm tired. And I'm hungry and I'm feeling, flat and whatever. And then dinner comes and you feel energized and you can go for the evening. So we can understand, I'm sure, how Esau was feeling. And he pleads with Jacob to give him some of this stew. And then Jacob, almost out of the blue, as it were, to us, says to him, "Yes, I'll give you this stew if you give me your birthright." And we think, well, where did that come from? What a strange thing to say. I'm hungry, I'm tired. Please give me some of the stew that you're cooking for yourself. And he says, please give me your birthright. Now, what was this birthright that Esau had that Jacob coveted? Well, in Jewish families at that time and for many time after, sons of the family did not receive equal privileges. In our day, we presume, don't we, with parents, that equal provision will be made for their children in their will, that you won't have some receiving more than others. All the children will receive the same divided between them, as it were. But in the Jewish culture, that wasn't the case, and the eldest son in a family had special rights and privileges of inheritance. One privilege the eldest son had, it was a responsibility as well, mind, So yeah, it was a sort of responsibility more. If the father died, then it was the responsibility of the elder son to take up his role of leadership within the family. And that was a responsibility because it was on him now to care for his mother if she was left alive without a husband. And it was his responsibility to care for the rest of the family as well, as was appropriate, a great responsibility. The elder son had that responsibility of leadership. And it's interesting, in Colossians, Paul says that Jesus Christ has that role of leadership within the family. He is our elder brother, which means the whole family is his responsibility. God has entrusted the church to Jesus Christ to care for. And it's good news, he's an elder brother who will not exploit that role for his own ends. But here's an elder brother who really cares for his kith and kin, for those of his own flesh and blood. So an elder brother then had the responsibility of leadership. But when the father would die and the inheritance was divided up, the elder son would have 50% of the estate. So everyone else would have the other 50% divided amongst them equally, but the elder son, as a privilege, would have 50%. So if any of you hear an elder son in something, perhaps you're wishing it was like that today. So that was the case in this family, as in any Jewish family at that time and for many centuries to come. The elder son had a special responsibility, but also a special privilege. But this, and that was called the birthright, my right as the elder son, my birthright. But in this family, the birthright carried extra significance. Because in this family, there was spiritual value and importance to the birthright. You see, remember who the son's grandfather was, Abraham. Now, do you remember God, earlier in the book of Genesis, had appeared to Abraham and had said to Abraham, and I paraphrase, Abraham, I've got big plans in mind for the world, and you are central to them. Abraham, I'm calling you to be mine, and I'm going to give you descendants. He didn't have any children at that time, and he wouldn't for some time to come. But I am going to give you a son, and you'll have many, many, many descendants through him. You'll have so many that they'll be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky, he would say later. Many, many descendants. You're going to be the father of a great nation, and out of this nation will come somebody who will bring blessing to the whole world. That's my plan, Abraham. I'm going to bring into this world somebody who's going to bring life and salvation to the nations. And he's going to come from your body. He's going